We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The Lancaster Symphony Orchestra comprises of professional musicians dedicated to delivering top-tier live music experiences while also offering educational initiatives, promoting music appreciation, and enhancing Lancaster's cultural landscape through accessible performing arts. And starting today through Sunday, they will have their Natural World Concert Series at Lancaster Country Day. And today, I'm happy to have Guy McIntosh, who is their executive director, Michael Butterman, who is their music director, and Amy Ballman, who is a representative from Lancaster Farmland Trust. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Spark.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Happy Friday. Everybody.
Yes, happy Friday indeed. So what can people expect today, this weekend, and Sunday?
I'll let Michael talk about the program. There's a lot of moving parts for this program.
I believe it.
The main thing is the music, so that's which our music director...
Sure. Well, first of all, we have it's a program of American music. There are a couple of names that people might know, the composers, Leonard Bernstein and Aaron Copland, and a couple that they might not know, Alan Hovhaness and Stephen Lias, who's a living composer, actually going to be joining us. We're also featuring the Lancaster Symphony Chorus on this program, singing the Chichester Psalms by Leonard Bernstein. And three of the four pieces will involve video images as well as, of course, the music that they're going to be hearing, which is a really wonderful aspect of being at the Gardner Theater, because we have the capability of doing that. So, and the program itself focuses on the beauty of our natural world, and in particular, the beauty of the United States and America. For example, this piece that I mentioned, or this composer I mentioned, Stephen Lias, wrote a work called Gates of the Arctic, which is based on the Gates of the Arctic National Park in Alaska. And he was in residence there as a composer and wrote this work. But he also took a lot of photos while he was there, so he's put together a kind of a travel... I guess you'd call it a musical travel log, but which is accompanied by the images that he's going to be sharing, that are going to be corresponding with the different musical ideas as we're hearing them, and then he did such a beautiful job with that. I did this with him a few years ago at another orchestra, and then asked him if he would put together some visuals for this work by Alan Hovhaness, a composer I mentioned. That's a piece called Mysterious Mountain, which is just a beautifully evocative work. So he's put together a kind of I guess it's a little bit more abstract.
I mean, the videos are really interesting.
They really are.
I mean, it's almost like illustrations, the way that he's done them, and I mean, it's very artistic and very powerful and emotional.
Right. So in the one case, we have these photos in for Gates of the Arctic, but the it's a little bit more, as you say, abstract, and for the Mysterious Mountain. And then we are doing this work by Aaron Copland called The Suite from the Tenderland, which is an opera that he wrote, but all about sort of the agricultural life of an important part of this country. And for that, we have images that I believe are provided by the Lancaster Farmland Trust that Guy has synced to the music, at least of the first part of that suite. Really effective. So those are images of the countryside right around here in Lancaster County.
Well, yeah, I mean, that piece kind of, I mean, everything's kind of about the natural world, the three kind of main pieces in the program, but we're all about thinking how we can think close to home, how we can collaborate with other organizations here in Lancaster and think outside the box. So it may be an unusual collaboration for the symphony to partner with the Farmland Trust here, but, I mean, it really goes well with the Copland, and I think this Copland really speaks to Lancaster, and preserving our farms is a huge part of that, which I'm sure Amy can talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really grateful for the new partnership. We are working at Lancaster Farmland Trust to connect more people to our mission and really broaden the community of people in our tent. You know, obviously, we recognize that most people, over 90%, will probably never step foot on a farm. But we are working to make them understand how our protected farmland really connects to them and impacts their lives. Lancaster County is a really unique place, very special. It has this vibrant city center with restaurants and music and art. And then you can drive 10 minutes, bike 10 minutes, and be surrounded by this not just productive farmland, but some of, frankly, the most beautiful in the country.
Well, so the images you provided us are gorgeous. They, I think, add a lot to the concert.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, again, that's why this connection is really important. We would love to help people understand how unique and special Lancaster is and that the protected farmland is part of that story.
Well, yeah, you know what they say about Lancaster, from cobblestone to cornfields and everything else in between. So you all have these images and you're seeking it with the music. How do you put something like this together? Because this goes beyond the traditional, you know, scale of a symphony, of an orchestra.
It does. And that's something I really believe in very firmly, which is that, you know, the way to connect an audience emotionally to the music that you're playing is to offer them as many different entry points to that experience as possible. Mm. It might mean combining your efforts with actors or with visual artists, but in this case, video, I think, works beautifully. So, I mean, from a technical standpoint, it sort of depends on the situation. In that one work called Gates of the Arctic, the composer is actually up in the booth with a laptop, and he's watching the score go by, and when we get to the point where we're talking about, or he's writing music about his encounter with a grizzly bear, then he knows, you know, what button to push to have the right image there. In the case of the Mysterious Mountain, the work by Hovhannes, that's a little bit more abstract. Again, he's up there sort of in real time driving the video issue, as it were, you know, just kind of pushing the speed forward or pulling it back a little bit to match what's going on stage, which is, from my perspective as a conductor, great, which means I don't have to think about anything other than just how the music should sound and let somebody else deal with synchronizing the images to that. I don't know how you're handling the...
I'm doing the same thing, although mine is much more rudimentary than the guest composer that we have coming in, but it's definitely going to start and end with the music, and there's certain points where certain pictures come in that I think fit the music on the first movement of the Copland.
Right. And then just from a technical standpoint, we just have to make sure that on stage we have enough, stand lights so the musicians, we have to dim the lights on stage, right? Mm-hmm. So the musicians can see what they're doing and they can see me because they have to be able to obviously see the conductor so they can know how to play together. But we had our dress rehearsal last night when it came together beautifully. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, so how did you land on featuring videos as well? Like, is it because we're a TikTok nation?
Well, you know, we are a culture in the 21st century that is used to consuming a lot of media simultaneously, sound and sight, and frankly we're also, you know, kind of hooked in with our devices in a way that means that we're used to sort of the multi-sensory stimulation. And I think I frankly think that orchestral music, much of it, you know, exists over a long time arc, let's just say. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have a movement of a symphony that lasts 15 minutes, and it's there's no words a lot of times, and there's no images to go with the music other than what you see the performers doing. I just feel like having other elements that coincide with that music, as long as they are supportive of the music rather than sort of distracting. I don't ever want anything that we do to sort of take away from the enjoyment of the music, but I think that in this case, I think that the images really help kind of get they inform your experience as a listener and deepen it. And that's, at least I hope, what's happening.
Well, this is something you thought about a lot with a lot of your programs. Like, I mean, the last concert we did, we ended up kind of projecting just the words that kind of inspired one of the most famous pieces, Vivaldi's Four Seasons. A lot of people don't know that it was actually written kind of based on a poem. And that gave people an in. And May, we're doing a similar concert that has all these multimedia elements.
And right, yeah. So next month there's a program that features a work called Ellis Island, The Dream of America, which involves seven different actors conveying the words of immigrants that were captured in the Ellis Island Oral History Project. In addition to those actors who are going to be on stage with the orchestra, there are also, again, images that that have been curated to deepen that. That is a kind of a real theatrical experience, I would say. So yeah, it is something that we think about, and I think if you do it in a way that is respectful of the music and supportive of the music, I think it's a win-win for the orchestra, because it introduces more people to it makes more people comfortable, let's just say, with experiencing an orchestral concert if they haven't before.
Amy, I'm going to start off with you with this question. Why did the Lancaster Farmland Trust decide to get involved with this?
Yeah, we're always looking for ways to broaden our community support and connect our mission, which is to vigorously accelerate the preservation and stewardship of farmland to more people in the community. And part of it, too, is sort of the urgency of the moment. The new ag census data is out, and it looks like over the past 5 years, Lancaster County's lost about 3,000 acres of farmland annually, which is a pretty significant uptick from the 1,200 we were losing in previous periods. What that looks like, you know, average farm in Lancaster County is 77 acres. It's about 40 farms a year. Very significant. And at the same time, as a community, we've created this great plan, Places 2040, which is meant to direct growth into these urban growth areas if we do it smartly and with the right density. And so we have this significant demand. There's a question about what's going to happen to all of this ag-zoned land that's outside of those urban growth areas. We preserved 125,000 acres of that land, but it's only 30%. So again, any time we can get in front of new community members and connect them more to the farmland that makes Lancaster County so unique, we welcome that opportunity.
So then this is kind of like a new form of engagement for you all then?
Absolutely. Last year, we implemented a new strategic plan, and a big part of that plan was broadening our community connections, doing more community engagement, and really trying to bring more people into the tent.
Yeah, new times call for new ideas. I love that. I mentioned at the top of the show about the Lancaster Symphony's educational opportunities. Could you all go into more details about what educational opportunities you all offer?
Yeah, so education and outreach makes up a big portion of kind of how we spend our time, but it's always kind of done in the background. Everyone sees the forward-facing, well, we do great concerts, we have a professional orchestra, we have subscription concerts and a big audience and things like that. But behind the scenes, we're going into schools, we're taking our musicians to work with kids in the school district of Lancaster and the surrounding school districts. We also do a yearly big education concert that's actually done in partnership with Carnegie Hall, the big one in New York. And that's actually a great program where kids are invited and they get a whole curriculum packet that's developed by Carnegie Hall, and there's four programs that we can kind of alternate between every year, do a different program. And they learn this curriculum in the school so that when they get to the concert, they're not just sitting and watching a concert. They can bring violins, they can bring recorders, they can sing along, and they can dance along, so they're active participants in the concert experience. And the goal is to get more people to, more kids to kind of engage with music, have this kind of catalyst with music where they feel invited to it. And hopefully when they come to a concert, they've maybe engaged with their school music program, maybe learned an instrument, which has so many educational benefits. And then when they get to a concert, they have that in, they have that kind of connection to it where they feel invited and welcome to kind of engage with music, which is kind of our mission, is to kind of spread it around and spread the benefits of live music with a professional orchestra and kind of reach as many people as we can with that. And then we've got an instrument loan program. We support teachers with funding to buy little things like violin strings or valve oil or trombone slide grease, like a bunch of little things. And then we have education outreach programs where we have open rehearsals and free concerts and
pre-concert
lectures, absolutely. And we have a library pass where families of four can go check out a free basically concert voucher that they can come to any Lancaster Symphony Masterwork. As long as there's a kid under 18 with them, they can get a free concert experience. And that actually is in every Lancaster County Library this year.
Wow. So how have you seen the orchestra evolve over these past 5 years, especially post-COVID? Because I know that threw a curveball for you all.
Yeah. Well, it's all evolved quite a bit. I mean, this is Michael's second season with us. So he's our new music director. And we had 192 people apply to the position that Michael's in right now.
Wow.
So during COVID, we did a lot of kind of virtual content. And then we were kind of in the background doing this conductor search that when we could come back to live music, we would have kind of a whole audition with some candidates coming in. Michael was one of four candidates of those 192 that was invited in. And he was kind of we basically pooled all of our audience, pooled our musicians, and he was kind of really on top out of, we had four incredible candidates, but Michael, his ideas with community engagement and education and thinking outside the box with how can a concert kind of impact more people and have these more kind of ends that people can grab onto to really have the enjoyment of music. That's Michael's wheelhouse, and he did 19 years with as the principal education conductor and outreach conductor for the Rochester Philharmonic, so he has all these incredible programs and really ideas for how we can reach more audiences, which is the biggest change we're seeing, is actually having so many people come to concerts. We've had 10 sold-out concerts this year, which does not normally happen for a symphony orchestra in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So I attribute a lot of that to Michael, so thank you. but also thinking outside the box with how we can collaborate with people. We also want to reach a new market. So just like the Farmland Trust wants to reach kind of a new market and spread their mission, we also want to market to people who normally wouldn't come to a classic music concert. That was one of the main reasons for the collaboration. Absolutely. Was to kind of share resources, get information out about the concerts, and also spread the message of what the Lancaster Farmland Trust does. They'll be talking ahead of the piece that we're doing. They'll have a table in the lobby. We'll be kind of marketing some things that they do, just like they're marketing our concert. So I think nonprofits can, even if they're not both artistic nonprofits, they can come together to really just impact and have a greater reach in our community to basically benefit everyone.
Indeed, indeed. Michael, one out of 192.
I'm not even sure I realized that. How about that?
I would say this. The Gen Zers would say that, sir, you are him. They would. So with the concert series this weekend, Michael, what can attendees expect?
They can expect to hear incredibly stirring music. I think Stephen's piece in particular is one that, you know, if you enjoy film music, for example, I think his especially with the images that you're going to be seeing, it feels like you're watching sort of a nature adventure film, I guess, in some respects. So I think they should feel, first of all, that they're going to have an experience that will be entirely comfortable. I don't think they'll feel like fish out of water in any respect. And I think they're going to also discover both him as a composer and probably also this composer named Hovhaannes, people that they don't necessarily know before. They might know the names Aaron Copland or Leonard Bernstein, but they may not know the other two names. So I think they're going to be welcomed by an experience that in some ways will be familiar, but in other ways will be, a welcome discovery for them as well.
And for the folks that are at home that are like, you know what, I think we might go. How can folks get tickets? Where do they go?
Yeah, so they can go to LancasterSymphony.org. The concerts are on Friday at 7:30, and then we have two concerts on Saturday at 2:30 and 7:30. Or they can call our box office at 717-291-6440.
And what time does everything start?
7:30 tonight. 7:30. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 6. We will have the Elso Bar open. And our new venue, this is our first year at the Gardner Theater, which has been great. We've been really growing into this brand new space in Lancaster that's really great for the community to have, and great performance space with a grand lobby, and our audiences are really kind of loving the new digs for the orchestra. And then 2:30 and 7:30 on Saturday.
All right, and then Amy, real quick, what's next for the Lancaster Farmland Trust?
Yeah, we are, again, just doing our work to preserve as many farms as we can as possible. We have preserved 591 so far, but there's obviously more work to do. And then helping those farmers, obviously it's in our best interest that those farms stay viable and sustainable. Mm-hmm. So working with farmers, and in particular in the water quality space, doing a lot of work to help them make their farms perform better environmentally. So we're up to that. And again, really getting out in the community, getting in front of people's faces. And helping them learn about protecting farmland. So very grateful for the symphony, for this opportunity. We'll be there tonight and tomorrow if you need any more information about us.
All right, and finally, are there any volunteer opportunities available through the Lancaster Farmland Trust?
Absolutely. One of the things we are doing a lot now is buffer planting. So if you're interested in working on stream work, you can come out on a farm with us and plant trees. And then also we've just launched a new project called Farm to Pantry, where we're doing gleaning work on farms, farmers who have extra things in the field that they're not going to be giving or selling. We have a crew that goes out, clears those fields off, and we donate that to local food pantries. So if you're interested in participating in that, we have information on our website to sign up.